You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
So one of the questions on our Instagram Q&A that we promised to deliver a full episode on was, how do you live a holistic lifestyle amidst so many big box stores and all this, what's the word I'm looking for? Convenience. Mm-hmm. I know what I want. I want it now.
God, you are good.
So we are going to talk about our holistic lifestyle, which is, you guys should see all the notes I have here.
I was
going to
say, you just said you're
going
to give a short episode.
It's just, here we go, Joe Rogan style. 5 hours in, we're still talking about blood sugar. So
people love it.
I know. We'll see. You guys, let us know how you love this. Do share it. As you know, help us out. We are sitting in Lightworkers Lounge, the literal lounge we created together, recording this for free. We could be doing many other things that are investing into our business or making money right now, but we have a powerful word. We have a lot of good things to share with you, especially bold italic underline this episode, because this is all about your health, your physical health. And if that ain't in alignment, none of your life, business, dreams, goals, success will be in alignment. Yep. And we're doing this for free. So if you want to pay it forward, pay it back, all we ask is you leave a review on the platform that you are listening to it on and share it on social media. We love when we see people share it on their stories, TikTok, Facebook, whatever you use. It makes us feel so good. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it.
I like it.
Holistic lifestyle. We don't realize, Baby J, just how, quote unquote, holistic. And I say that in air quotes because I think we just live a normal life.
Yeah, and the term, like anything else, can be overused in the wrong way. Yeah. But yeah, we do. We live a very...
A normal human being life. But in the day and age of chemicals and glyphosate and pesticide, we are crunchy.
Glucose, sucrose? Okay, I won't.
We're crunchy. We're organic. We're Colorado moms. Like Sarah and I recorded an episode back in the Keys, and it was about being a hippie. Mm-hmm. Everywhere we go, people call Sarah and I hippies because we're free spirits. Mm-hmm. And we recorded an episode saying, I love being called a hippie because it means I'm living outside the norm. And right now, the norm in this urgency culture is not a place you want to be.
No.
Everybody wants out of that rat race. So we're going to talk about our holistic lifestyle. First and foremost, while we're on the mic, Baby Jay, you're about to graduate with something.
Oh, yeah. I was
like,
wait, what? Well, I have been quietly working on my IIN certification. So I would highly recommend, and I don't know what code or whatever they need to use. I mean, I did it, but I would highly recommend investing some time into IIN, even if you don't have...
What's IIN stand for?
Integrative. Well,
Institute for Integrated Nutrition.
Yep. And then Robert, what's his last name? The guy who wrote
Joshua
it all?
Joshua Rosenthal.
Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. I love
Is he an alien or what?
He's definitely an alien. He's definitely Aquarius, Sun, Moon, Rising.
He has to be.
Sorry, and I said Robert because...
That's your favorite guy who speaks.
Within the program, there's like tons of really good lectures and information and some that'll... just keep you around and engaged, but then there's some, or there'll be one that is just like, whoa, holy shit.
Yeah.
And the Robert guy was the one that I still, to this day, love. Yeah. So yeah, I am a quote-unquote graduate of IIN and should have like the actual certification in a few weeks.
You're a certified holistic health coach.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Good. And I'll be ready to use it when I'm ready to use it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. A lot of people go to that school, not with the intention of changing their full-time job, but just to learn to be holistic, to have a clean lifestyle, because there's so many health ailments that are plaguing families and loved ones and just causing such mental havoc, unnecessary mental anguish.
Well, watching...
Because a lot of them are preventable.
Watching you go through what you've been through and then knowing... my own health journey. I don't know. it's good to know all the information to use it however you want to use it.
Did my adrenal fatigue last year, that really rough stage in it, is that what inspired you to enroll?
That mixed with my weight loss, but not really understanding how I did my weight loss journey. Like,
your weight loss journey is so cool. I think that's one of your most watched reels on your Instagram, is the picture of you chunky in the mirror doing a selfie.
Yep. That big part of it was your adrenal issues and then going through that. But then, yeah, the other side of it was my journey, but not knowing how I even
got there.
I just knew I lost weight and felt good and things were good. But like, to backtrack it and like reverse engineer it and be like, oh, the pie chart, this is how. Okay. It was cool.
Yeah. So I want to share with people how we even got into this, because we were not born. I mean, I kind of was. I was born to a pretty healthy family. Not perfect. We still had buffalo mac and cheese. But, you know, so I want to talk about the history of how we got here. So I'll go first. I'm going to talk about health issues that I have overcome and what got me to IIN, first of all. So my whole life, I have been just the world's most sensitive little being. Since I was young, I've had to take naps. I've always had dark circles under my eyes. When I was 10 years old, I was at a pet store and I was sticking my fingers through a cage, petting kittens. And then I had the most severe allergic reaction. I mean, this is from an Indiana country girl who'd been rolling around in hay with dogs and cats her whole life. Suddenly at 10 years old, I had a severe allergic reaction, scared the shit out of my mom.
Did you ever have any issues after that?
I got so bad. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we did the whole allergy test where you go to the doctor and they like punch 10 needles into your back, you know, and whichever one swells up, you're allergic to. I was allergic to, I think, everything, but especially dogs and cats. And I remember I was 10 years old and this doctor said, "Sorry, honey, no cats, no dogs." And I looked at her and said, "No, I will heal this." 10 years old.
Well, here.
That's badass.
The thing I love about IIN is you will learn that the term allergy actually isn't a thing. It's a gut issue. It's a this. It's a that. It's not technically they have an allergic reaction. Yeah. We need Claritin. So
it's all gut, and you're 100% accurate, because while I was born into a very holistic family, my ancestors, my great greats are from Yugoslavia and Swedish. All
the
those
way you
things.
Say Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavian and Czechoslovakian. That's my heritage. But they moved to Iowa straight from Czech and Yugoslavia, and they would always grow their own food. So that is where it started. And they owned a little grocery store market where they sold this food in Iowa. It's pretty cool.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, there's pictures I'll show you. But I had gut issues at the age of 10 because, unfortunately, I grew up on welfare. And when you're on welfare and food stamps and you have to go to a food bank, you take what you can get. And normally it is bottom of the barrel quality food.
Yeah.
Right? Just the cheapest bread, spoiled milk, you name it.
Yep.
So that is kind of what I was raised on from probably 3-4 until 12 years old-ish. Like, so yes, my gut was fucked up. And I had severe allergies my whole life. From about 13 on, it was just a running joke that we had to go to Costco to buy tissues for Steph in bulk. Every morning, like clockwork, I'd wake up, take a breath, and just achoo, achoo. I mean, for probably 20 minutes. And my eyes were always so puffy, so dark. But after that, it like stabilized and I'd be okay.
Yeah.
It's so sad to look back on now, because it's like, God, nobody thought.
Well, the writing's on the wall. Like,
Steph, take your allergy pill. Come on, girl. Yeah. Stop sneezing.
You can look at your life and I can look back as you talk about mine. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
I can pinpoint it all.
Yeah. So fast forward to 24, I went for a routine pap smear and I mentioned my mom had thyroid cancer. They tested my thyroid and they said, holy shit, you have thyroid autoimmunity called Hashimoto's and it's really bad. We need to get your thyroid out immediately. And I said, abso-fucking-lutely not. I'm 24. I need this organ. I want to have children someday. Who knows if I'm even done growing? I'm 5'2". I need help here. You're not taking my thyroid.
And you were done growing.
And so I literally left and they were like, good luck. And I researched and researched and researched. And I found gluten-free to be the common theme of healing Hashimoto's. So I didn't even know what gluten was. But then when I looked around my kitchen, I thought, wow, I eat pretzels every day. I have toast every day. I have pasta, regular, gluten everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And so the first day that I did not touch a bite of gluten, I woke up the following morning and did not sneeze. And I mean, I jumped up and like ran in the bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror and was like, come on. Like, it's almost like I had a tickle in my nose. Like, come on, sneeze. Do I look up at the sun? It never came. And I was just like, what? I mean, this is 10, 12 years of sneezing every single morning. And I noticed the bags under my eyes the next few days went away. I looked so bright. And I was like, fuck gluten. I will never eat a pretzel so long as I live if I feel like this. And then I cut out dairy. And I lost probably 5 to 10 pounds, which is a lot for my little frame.
Yeah.
My skin issues. I used to always get big pimples around my period. I never got them again.
Yeah.
And then 6 months to a year later, I went to the doctor and I did not have autoimmunity anymore.
So,
amongst many other lifestyle changes that we're going to talk about.
The thing when I, like, I know your life now, like I do, it's really cool to know that, like, although mama had to get the shitty foods and pump all that nastiness into you with no choice, essentially, she at least got to the point where she was doing her best to then start growing y'all's food.
Yes.
And like she became more conscious and aware of what was going into y'all's body. And so you kind of started to grasp.
The damage was already done.
Yeah.
And there's a two-part thing to autoimmunity. Diet plays a huge role. But what in my research, studies, and personal experience with autoimmunity, the key factor 10 out of 10 times I have found is people who are diagnosed with autoimmunity 1 to 5 years prior to the diagnosis went through something very traumatic, PTSD worthy.
Yeah.
I watched and held my brother through his very first grand mal seizure and told the 911 operator at the time, my brother's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And his blue, midnight blue face just looking up at me with his white eyes rolled back. I could cry right now.
Yeah.
Trauma. It's still in me. I've got to just like go see another seizure or something to get it out.
Yeah.
And that was at 22 years old. And then at 24, boom, there's the diagnosis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, emotions. We're going to talk about that. That's something we learn at IAN is primary versus secondary food. What is it, Mr. Graduate?
Well,
by the way, I graduated IAN in 2017. For anybody wondering why I'm all snarky over here.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah.
As you talk about your life, I think back on mine, and it's like, wow. I remember getting the same allergy test. I remember them always trying to give me Claritin.
Were you allergic to anything?
I was allergic to everything. Alfalfa grass.
As soon as I got rid of gluten, I could rub all over my cats. Yes, I continue to have cats.
Yeah.
I did. I could not put them near my face or else it would blow up, but I could pet them with my hand.
Yeah.
But after that, I was like, ooh, let me try the worst. And I rubbed my cat's whiskers because that's where the allergies are. Not a single nothing.
Yeah, I think I'm like, wow, I did. I did the same allergy test. My family was definitely not aware, still aren't, about healthy options. And it's like, whoa, I can just piece everything together that led me to being very swollen and fat and lazy and just all these things, having the allergy, quote unquote, allergy issues, and just... Like, yeah, looking back on it now, it's like, oh my gosh, if we would have just not eaten Hamburger Helper every night, if we
wouldn't have
eaten white bread with the canned Vienna sausages that were just full of soy. And it's like, but if I were to go back then and tell them, you know, my parents, like, hey, feed them more organic vegetables and feed them more fruit and more grass-fed beef, they would still look at me and say, like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. These are allergies. Allergies aren't, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Everybody has dander in the air.
Everybody has allergies. It's like.
You know what I think really fucked our guts up? Because we're both born in 88 and 87. Like, we were pretty much raised on the same. The candy that we used to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember? You probably didn't because you're a Virgo. But
you didn't see the new study on Skittles? That was last week?
I did.
And yeah.
My AIM screen name was Exo Skittles. I love that shit. But do you remember the squeegee stuff? It was just pure, probably corn syrup, but they had different colors.
I remember those, but Texas, where I grew up, what we had was Lucas. Do you remember Lucas?
No.
It was like a, it was full of chili powder and like super sour, and it was a paste.
I Googled
that.
I've never seen this.
And you would suck. It was, it might just be a Texas thing. You would suck on it, and that is the nastiest thing that I could ever think of. And we would just eat it like hotcakes.
Sweet pops.
Oh, we didn't. I saw those on the shelf, but I never ate those.
Oh my God. We need to Google the ingredients right now.
Yeah. The Airheads. Do you remember Airheads?
Of course. And Warheads.
Airheads and Warheads. Google the ingredients in that shit.
So I don't even need to. Yeah. To just know that this is probably why our gut, literally, fuck the hamburger helper.
Yeah, it's just all, it's all high fructose corn syrup. That's all it is.
What do you think of then a squeeze pop?
Just tons of fructose corn syrup.
And, oh, God. Yeah. I used to suck those things down. I'm scared.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Made of corn syrup, citric acid, water, sodium benzoate, potassium sorbate, color, red 40, natural and artificial flavor.
Not one single it's ingredient is a whole food of any sort.
No.
No. It's all genetically made in a lab.
So you're right. It's just corn syrup with... artificial flavors.
It's just fructose.
I put that in my sucko. So, honestly, when I look around at our generation, are we the ones? There was a study conducted. We really need to like have a DJ on our show to look shit up so we have proof. But I swear I read a study that said we, either us or our kids, are the first generation that is not projected to outlive their parents.
Yeah, I think that was us.
It's our generation, yeah, right? Sure, and when you look around, oh my God, eczema, psoriasis, autoimmunity here, there, everywhere. Yep. I'm pretty sure all of us have gut issues.
Yep.
I don't think anybody poops perfect logs twice a day.
No, I think that study came out because we were one of the first generations to have to deal with glyphosate and a lot of these other pesticides and herbicides and things like that.
So bad. Yeah. So really, if you are born in the 80s and you're listening to the 80s or 90s, it's crazy. People in the 90s are around our age. Mm-hmm. I still look at the 90s as like babies.
Yeah.
You really need to go to IIN to survive and outlive your parents. As grim Scorpio as that sounds.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I agree. And if you're a parent, if you were a parent, you should not question twice. You should spend the time and go to IIN.
Because honestly, guarantee I think some of the food out there now is just as bad or worse, even more covered in glyphosate. Yep. And we are, for those listening saying, what the fuck is glyphosate? We are going to get to that because this should just be an episode about it.
True.
But so going back to the history of us, as soon as I had my allergies, acne, hormones, Hashimoto's reversed, I was like, holistic is the only way I will ever live. So help me God.
Yep.
I was just hooked on it because I felt good and I looked good. I was even getting a little bit of abs because I wasn't eating poopy food. And this was awesome. I love not having the dark circles under my eyes. So for you, you were saying that you lost weight. And then did you just love the way you felt and looked at you? Because you've been very healthy ever since then. So give us a little preview of like what you ate as a kid and then what caused you to say, enough, I need to lose weight.
So my entire life leading up until I turned 30, because 30 is when I made the change, was...
Why did you make the change?
It was actually during my cheating stuff, like right before
was
that.
Was it stress or were you like, oh my God, somebody else can love me and make me feel good about myself?
So I think it started when I realized I was not in love and I needed to not be in this relationship. And most everyone's mind goes to, well, you have to look better.
Yep.
Right?
That's
so
what
it's
I'm
like,
saying.
All right, that started it. But, oh my God. Easy square. Oh my God. But so that started it, right? If I'm being completely fucking honest, what started it was, oh, in order to attract somebody else, I need to look my best. And that quickly faded because that's not any...
Didn't you say once, you know someone's cheating when all of a sudden they're going to the gym and they look good and they're putting on more makeup.
Or like you haven't heard of it before, but they call it the fuck you body.
I've never heard
it so many times. It's like, oh, that person has a fuck you body. And it's like, they're making that airy statement afterward. Like, see, but
I look good.
Yeah, I look good. You missing this. So I was working on my FU body. And that will never last, but what I did start to enjoy was I went from waking up late and feeling like shit, puffy, swollen, just like just that I'm sure women with different hormones, you feel it. You wake up and you just feel swollen. Yes. And you're like, what the hell? I stopped feeling that way. I started noticing I was waking up at like 5 a.m. and I was in the CrossFit gym by like 5:30.
I'm buying us these.
The cigarette candies?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I call my mom. She's probably got a pack of them. I started noticing that I was getting up earlier. I started noticing that I was drinking more water. I started noticing that magically I started feeling better. And then I signed up for an ultra.
How did you know to do all those things?
I
just intuitive. Your body was like, hey, I want more water.
Yes. Yeah. So
give us a rundown of when you were Bubba J, I call him.
Okay.
I'm a terrible partner. I call him Baby J now, but he was pretty
Bubba
chunky.
I ate Baby J back then.
He was Bubba J.
Yeah.
What did you wake up and drink?
I woke up every day. I still wasn't an alcohol or sugar drinker. Big time, no sodas. But what I did consume all day long was either water or the vitamin waters. And if you even go look, vitamin waters are just stacked full of sugar. Yeah, and processed stuff. So vitamin water and water was my drink of the choice all day long.
In the morning, as soon as you woke up?
Yes.
What about coffee?
No, I really didn't do tons of coffee back then. And if I did do coffee, the few times I did, I would stack it full of cream and sugar. So cream,
so you
sugar.
You just have an ice cream with caffeine.
Basically.
Mm.
If I did stop at Starbucks a few times, I wasn't
caramel macchiato.
Yep.
Oh, so yep. Good.
Caramel macchiato, no extra shot, just tons of milk and caramel. Extra caramel.
Did you guys know you are only supposed to have, according to the World Health Organization, there is our proof, 25 grams of sugar a day. 25 grams. Go ahead.
Google how many are in there. So it was... That was my choice for drinks. Food. I would eat 2 to 3 breakfast tacos every morning.
Good Lord.
I would stop at this little place on the way out because I was normally traveling out to like Corpus to work. So 2 or 3 breakfast tacos. By the time I got to work, I was probably grabbing another breakfast taco somewhere else. So within an hour and a half or two. At lunchtime, it was always a big meal. Beef fajitas with rice and beans and tortillas and...
Tortilla.
Just, and then the same thing, dinner was always a big meal and maybe a Starbucks in between. So like I was literally pumping myself full of
24.8 and a tall.
And just one.
And just one.
Yeah.
So you have one caramel macchiato, one and tall, just the tall.
Yeah.
You're done. No more sugar at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was eating tons of sugar and I was eating tons of processed foods and I was eating tons of carbohydrates, tons of carbohydrates. But yet I wasn't expelling those carbohydrates throughout the day. So they were just stacking and turning into fat.
Yeah. And so you went through a cheating scandal, like a huge wake up in life, and you decided, I want to look better. And wow, to feel love from a new person, even if it's not healthy, it's still that dopamine kick of like, dang, I want to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to any relationship. Well, when you're married to someone, that's why people get soft when they're married. Cause they're like, well, I got them now. I don't have to worry about looking good, which is bad, but it's just natural. So you were in that stage.
Yeah. And my Virgo must've kicked in because I do remember. That was my first thought. Next was like, okay, well, I'm going to cut out vitamin water. It's all sugar. Okay, so I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to drink water. That alone led me to, like I said, waking up a little bit earlier, feeling a little bit better, less puffy, showing up to the gym in the morning, even though I kind of didn't want to, which then led to my body feeling lighter and better. In a sense of like when I did walk or walk downstairs or whatever it might have been, I was like, wow, my joints don't ache as much. And that feels really good. Well, what else could I do? Then the Googling started. And it was like, what's a good diet? Paleo popped up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'll do this paleo thing. It's going to be hard for me to cut out tortillas and breads and grains and all this dairy because I would suck down a gallon of milk a week. It's like,
oh my God.
Get rid of that. Now let's just eat a very simple diet. It was super boring, but Google was my best friend after I made like that step of just drinking water and going to the gym.
So simple. You just decided to add more water and walk.
Yeah.
Move your body.
Yeah.
People think they have to do, it's this insurmountable change of they have to throw out everything in their fridge and then they got to go do CrossFit.
No.
And it's like, no, it could be as simple as I'm going to drink 8 ounces more of water, four ounces more. And then I'm going to walk to get the mail rather than drive my car.
Yeah.
That's it.
Another reason I love IAN, because although we want to just live the extremes and we want to say, all right, today I'm cutting out all sugars, I'm running 10 miles, and I'm blah, blah, blah. That's not sustainable. And people like James will tell you the same things. They say what is sustainable is taking small steps. Waking up tomorrow, and instead of drinking coffee, I'm going to trade that for 8 ounces of water. Yep. Then I'm going to drink my coffee.
Yep.
The next day, instead of stopping at McDonald's and getting two of my breakfast sandwiches, I'm going to trade one of them for an extra glass of water and still eat one of them.
Yeah.
And then you stack these little things day by day by day. And the next thing you know, you're not drinking your coffee. You're not eating and stopping at McDonald's. You're starting to feel better. And when you start to feel better, you're like, what else can I do? Because this feels really good. I wanted to, in the beginning, I wanted to look better. That went away. Now I feel better. And now I magically look better. And it's like, holy shit.
I'm high off this.
Yeah.
I used to tell my clients, like, okay, your vice is McDonald's. Go ahead and go there and get your burger, but take the top bun off and eat it open face.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I can still have my double cheeseburger. I'm like, yeah, just take the bun off. See how you feel. Oh, you don't want us bloated. Oh, okay. I remember when I really, before I got to IIN, I went out to eat with Mama for breakfast. And I loved always a lox bagel. Bagel with fucking salmon, cream cheese, capers.
What in the northern are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, fucking guy. It was wicked good. Wicked fucking good. Then go catch the Sox, get my Bruins jersey. But I went and had that. We were in Charleston. And then we went back to the hotel by like 9 a.m. And I was so bloated, baby J. I probably got stretch marks still in my belly. I looked in the mirror with my button popped and I was like, I'm pregnant. I haven't had sex in 5 months, but I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
It was that bloated. And I said, this has to be the bagel I ate. I just knew it. And I was like, fuck this. That was good. But I don't like being so freaking swollen. So I stopped. Yuck. It's not worth it.
No.
You're absolutely right. It feels better. So that is our history. We're already at an hour. I told you we couldn't do this.
Nope.
Of why we both decided to go to IIN. So how do we live a holistic lifestyle? Baby J, what is our morning routine? People love morning routines. That's like a trending thing on social media for Q&As and stuff like or reels. Mm-hmm. What's your morning routine? Why is that most important? Why doesn't anybody say, what's your afternoon routine?
That sets the day. That is who you will be for the first 4 hours of that day, if not the entire day. Your morning routine is going to be the most important thing. But as I say that, nobody's perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. So I'll tell you the things.
Did a Virgo just admit they're not perfect?
Yeah, we did.
Holy shit. Keep
calling ourselves out. So the things that I'll say are the things that I do, or at least I try and do, while then realizing some of them I don't and I need to do better. First thing first, no matter what, though, I do wake up and drink a big glass of water. Like every morning I walk downstairs, I come down here, I get a glass of Kangen water. It's the first thing I put in my body.
Why?
So I feel like for me, my energy level seems to be a little bit better for like the first hour or two in the morning if I drink water instead of going straight to coffee or anything else. I do know as a Virgo and going to IIN and just research that it helps balance the gut right away. And the biggest thing, though, is you don't realize you're normally drinking something throughout the day, right? Whether it's a tea or a Coke or water, whatever you may be drinking, vitamin water, you're drinking something. During your sleep, you were consuming nothing. You would never, throughout the whole entire eight-hour day, go without drinking something. Most people don't. They drink something. Well, at nighttime, you don't. Your body is starting off the day dehydrated. If you don't go hydrate it right away, that's when people start to say, like, at 9 a.m., they're like, God, I got a headache, or, man, my bones ache, or, like, I don't feel good, like, my stomach hurts. It's like, yeah, your body is screaming at you, like, hey, we needed hydration, please, we're thirsty. And if you don't give it to your body right away, you're already, like, behind the eight ball trying to catch up. And if you're trying to catch up, your day is pretty much fucked.
Do you know how many people roll out of bed and go to the Keurig and pop a cup in, and that is the first thing that touches their poor dehydrated body is a substance called coffee that further dehydrates the organs?
It dehydrates.
And people wonder why they've got kidney stones. Oh, well, chest pain, headaches.
There's two parts to even that, like we've talked about. A, your body needs about 60 to 90 minutes before you put any caffeine to it for some other endorphins Bloodshed. And things we won't go into yet, but you need about 90 minutes before you consume any caffeine in the morning. Well, the other thing is you don't realize you're pumping hot water through a plastic machine over and over and over, sucking down what's the chemical that plastic
BPA,
BPA and different like
even
so you're
the
just
ones
double
that say
whammy
BPA
in it.
Free like that even if it's BPA free like there is some chemical that creates that plastic cup you put hot steaming water so it's gonna leach out
so not only are you telling your body I don't care about you enough to hydrate you
you're
also poisoning it at the same time and so what do you think your body's gonna do how is it gonna react. It's not going to say thank you.
Put this down your suckle.
So. Water. Water to me is first. I don't. You have your little morning routine after you get up.
Yeah, some I. You know, you and I are lucky that we are very in tune with our bodies. Our bodies can communicate to us. Hey, I don't want coffee. I don't. Mm-hmm. We love our coffee routine. We even have a little coffee brand in the works for business. But our bodies will tell us, hey, no more dairy.
Yeah.
No more. We're not lucky. We're just in tune. Because of our entire holistic lifestyle, we are able to communicate with our body, which we are definitely going to get to that.
We listen. We listen to our body.
My body's been craving electrolytes, so in the morning I have an 8-ounce mason jar. I do a quarter of aloe water because aloe heals the stomach, you guys. It can cure IBS.
Just don't drink a whole bottle.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. So I do a fourth of that 8-ounce is aloe. And then I do a splash of lemon juice and then fill the rest with coconut water. And that is what my body is reintroduced. Did you know breakfast means break fast? Because you're fasting all night. And in the morning, you wake up and break it.
Yep.
Breakfast.
Yep.
So you're absolutely right. The analogy I used to use with clients is, hey, while you're asleep, your body says, sweet, we're under anesthesia. So now we can get to work and clean out the heart, clean out the lungs. Ooh, they breathe in a lot of dust and fumes from cars today. Yep. Let's clean all that out. So picture your body like Cinderella at midnight with brooms and mops and Windex. And they're clean, 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 clean. Well, all that garbage from cleaning has to go somewhere. So in the morning, the last thing you want to do is throw more garbage on top of the garbage that your body just worked so hard to clean. You want water to flush it all out.
Yeah. And think about it. You consciously go to sleep, but your body never stops working.
Never.
Your body is a car engine that is constantly turned on. There is no turning it off until you die. So if that's always on and always running, it needs something to continue helping it move along. Water is an absolute.
Absolutely. And we just briefly, for water, we use the Kangen machine. My friend Sarah is a distributor of them. This is high alkaline water, very filtered, and it has a lot of oxygen molecules in it. So it gets a lot of oxygen in your blood, which makes you feel alive and have energy. And it does a multitude of other things. I could bring Sarah on for an entire episode, but if you are curious, go check her out on Instagram. But we love Kangen water. That is our water of choice.
Clean water.
No bottled plastic, anything. We have steel jugs. Yours is right there. Who makes them?
Let's see.
We fill up every day. Iron Flask.
Iron Flask. This is not sponsored, but if they want to sponsor,
we'll be here. Yep. We use Iron Flask so every morning we fill these up. We have like 64-ounce size. They're huge. And we fill it up in the morning, and that's what we sip on all day.
Also, something else to remember is like not all. So you bought us food grade stainless steel, which is like 302 or I'm not sure, but Google even the stainless steel flask you're buying. It has to be food grade.
Yeah. Sarah mentioned that too. She said really the best is glass. But remember those jugs, we broke all of them and lost all of them. And they're really hard. Those are huge to carry around. So I know. And there is a plastic straw, right?
No, rubber.
It's rubber.
It's rubber.
Oh.
So I don't know what.
But again, it's not glass. It's just the way to go,
holistically
speaking. But because we live such on-the-go lives, this is the best we could come up with. So in the morning, I also, because I want to keep my hormones as a woman with a very intricate hormonal system, I eat fats. So when I wake up, no phone, no social media at all. If I do turn on my phone, I am adding my BBT temperature Oh gosh, should we go into that?
I mean, you can, guys. Actually, it's part of your routine.
It is. I got to talk about it. So I have not been on the birth control pill since I was 18. I stopped at 18 because it made me so emotional. I would eat double the amount of every meal, and then my boobs were gigantic. Where I was like, this is not. Well,
the ladies who don't know, it's a hormone disruptor. It's a blocker.
It is a blocker. Yeah. It's preventing ovulation. It's so bad.
Yeah.
But I understand the importance, especially now that Roe versus Wade was overturned. It is so important to prevent pregnancy when you are not ready or you want to have sex with someone, but you do not want to parent with them.
Yeah.
I get it. So I use an app called Natural Cycles. Again, this is not being promoted by them.
But it should be paid for.
Yeah. Everybody, shout out to these brands and be sure to check our show notes because I'm going to list everything. But I use Natural Cycles, and what that is I have a thermometer next to our bed on my nightstand, and I take my temperature before I roll out of bed every single morning. And what this does is it tracks my ovulation cycles. So you can also use it to get pregnant to narrow down exactly when you ovulate, but you can also use it to say, hey, I'm super fertile this week, so double up on the condoms. Refrain from having sex if you're really self-disciplined because this is the week. You can only get pregnant like 4 days out of a month.
Yeah.
Pregnancy is an incredible miracle. Yeah. But this is an app I use also to make sure that my hormones are balanced and behave. Lately, they have not been. I have been eating gluten and dairy amongst other lifestyle things. And so this app, seeing that my temperatures are a little wonky and all over the place, gives me the power to say, okay, I got to cut something out of the diet. I've noticed my libido, my skin. It's a wonderful app to track those things. So you can use it, again, to prevent or prepare for pregnancy. And this is what I use. That's part of my morning routine. No phone, no social media, unless I'm turning on my phone to check the weather or enter that temperature into my app. Because social media is beautiful. It's fun, but it's also dangerous. It is. It's a very dangerous tool. That is not what you want that perfectly balanced psych after a long night's rest to be absorbing.
You don't. Right? The last thing.
Do you check your phone when you wake up? Social media.
Nope. I come down here. I get my
read
glass
the news.
Of water.
Nothing.
Nope.
What do you do?
I come down here and get my water, and as soon as I get my water, I normally go to the restroom. Go to the restroom, walk outside, look outside for a minute, zone out for a minute, and then I start getting ready. And then I'm normally looking at my phone. The only time I look at my phone in the morning is like I'll hit the button to see what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I try to stay.
Do you turn your phone off at night?
No, it's on airplane mode, though.
Why don't you turn it off?
I have sometimes, but then my Virgo can't see what time it is in the morning.
We have a little, I got us that little vintage clock on the dresser. Oh, that's what I always look at.
I forgot. Well, because it sits on the big dresser.
That has been kind of something we've debated since we made our relationship official and lived together and started sleeping together. You used to have an Apple Watch, leave your phone on. I understood, you know, for the boys' sake, why you had to leave it on back then, but I, being miss sensitive to absolutely everything, since phones became a thing, cannot sleep next to a phone that is on. I swear to you, I feel the EMF from it.
Well, I think there's a certain distance away from you where the EMF is no longer transmitting into you.
I tell you what, I can feel it just is like, no. I can't even do the earbud. What are they called?
Earbuds.
I can't do those.
I think I just grew up in such a toxic environment with toxic people that I built up a what do you call it?
But it really is unhealthy for you. Like, it's now proven. Yeah. People are kind of ignoring it because it's such a key part of our urgency, busy culture that they're like, nah, fuck it. We're all going to die. Oh, everything's unhealthy for you.
You should never put your phone. We all do it and we all fuck up. But you should never even, when you're taking a call, it should always be on speakerphone. You should never even put your phone up to your ear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can feel that.
Some nights I turn the phone off. Some nights I have it on airplane mode. But I come down, I get my water. The last thing you want to do is start your day off fight or flight. I've done that for my entire life because normally it was workers texting me at 7 a.m.
I remember watching you do that. That
it was
terrible.
Trying to figure out why the boys weren't at school.
Yeah.
It was always something. And when you start your day off in fight or flight, it's really hard to then pull yourself back down, root yourself, and then go about your day.
Yep. So. Yep. He said it. That's Jeffrey. Good morning to you. So after that, for breakfast, let's talk about what we eat. I personally go for the fats, the avocados, the eggs. Used to be salmon, but we really don't eat that much. Mm. But I need satiation in order to feel full, to have complete focus. If I eat things like pancakes, muffins, bagels without a fat on it, butter, something like that, I can feel it. I can feel my nervous system just frazzled. I'll be hungry in an hour. I'll get the bloat.
Well, and again, I won't go Virgo crazy on it, but it makes sense that you crave fats in the morning as a way to get the body moving correctly for you. Mm-hmm. Fats help utilize vitamin A, D, E, and K, omega-3s, and saturated fats help regulate hormones.
Yeah, so my body's telling me. She's telling me, hey, egg.
Are needed.
When I was vegan for 2 years, and that's when honestly I had the bad acne. I think I had cysts because I would randomly get really sharp pain in my ovary area. I would crave eggs. And then when I would make Jeffrey meat, I would be like, oh, I want a bite of this. But no, I'm vegan and that's torture and that's bad. And red meat's inflammatory, so no. But my body was like frothing to eat a boiled egg. And now I can eat 3 to 4 eggs a day.
Yeah.
My body craves it because they're little pockets of... But my favorite medical medium always says they're so bad for autoimmunity, but I tell you what, they're not bad for me.
But again, this is why you will love things like IIN is because bioindividuality is the one absolute in anything. Like what I eat may be bad for me, what you eat may be good for you, and vice versa.
Yeah, it's like you're big on carbs. You can put down muffins, pastries, and I don't think it makes you tired or
have
it. I will crash and say, night night.
No, my insulin sensitivity is different than yours, and my activity level is different than yours. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I don't crave much of anything first thing in the morning. So like your body and your hormones, of course, would say we need fats. Mine, I wake up and I don't really crave or want many foods.
What about coffee?
I want coffee, but I'm very conscious to why I want it. And
What's your drink of choice?
Oat milk latte, extra shot.
Yeah. And so mine's coconut milk latte with an extra shot. Now, I don't think we'll ever put cream or regular dairy. No. Maybe we should sometimes because alternative milks, we have an almond cow that we need to start using again where you make your own milk because you guys, again, alternative milks are so fucking bad for
you.
They
are.
They're so bad. We have friends here in Pagosa who bring their own milk to the coffee shop and say, hey, could you guys use this in my latte, please?
Yeah.
Because they know how bad. And he beat cancer twice. So he's like super stringent about what he puts in his body, which is why he'll go as far as bringing his milk to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
And right.
Yeah.
So that I would say is a strike against us.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what kind of milk they're using, but I'm sure if we read the box, it would have all the gums, the thickening.
The guar gums.
A lot of them are just like Oatly, our favorite brand, is pure canola oil.
Yeah.
Rapeseed is what canola oil is, but we're the only country that doesn't call it rapeseed because, oh, the word rape is in it.
Yeah. No, you're right. The levels to health
but what's
never
worse,
end.
Are our alternative milk or putting heavy cream and sugar?
Neither.
Which poison is more heavy?
I think hormonally, I think putting the, from what I know, hormonally, I think using
cream and
regular
sugar.
Dairy and sugar, of course, is going to be for your insulin and for your insulin pump and a female's body, dairy and sugar is absolutely horrible.
Because our milks don't have sugar in them. No. Our lattes, I think the average person would be like, ugh, this is so bitter. But we like that. Bitter taste,
which is weird because they always ask you at coffee shops you want flavoring, and I'm always like, why the fuck would you even ask me that? People actually put flavoring in their coffee.
Sometimes when we used to go to Starbucks, we would just get a black iced coffee
and
we'd be like,
add sweetener in it.
They're like, that's the classic syrup, that's just what everybody gets. What do you mean?
Ugh. Fucking disgusting.
They don't understand when you're like, no, sugar free. What
they're for anybody who's listening though, who is like, oh my god, this shit's just over the top, it's too confusing. Everything's in levels, right? Like I went from eating horribly to then thinking a 6-inch Subway with turkey meat was my next healthy choice. Yeah. And although it was nasty and still bad for me, it was the next healthy option. From there, finding like, oh, instead of bread, I'm going to just do lettuce wraps. Oh, and then just like continuing the journey.
Please don't get overwhelmed with this podcast because we are 10, 15 years in the making of a lifestyle like this. It is a very slow finding what works for you, finding new things you love process. So be gentle and go slow.
Yeah.
I used to tell clients, and this actually worked out really well. People still lost weight and cut out inflammation. I said, okay, what is your vice? Pizza. I'd love to get pizza like 5 nights a week. Okay, cool. Who doesn't love a good pizza?
Yeah.
Make it at home.
Yeah.
Everything from scratch down to the dough. I want you to get organic flour, get a packet of yeast, and rise your own dough.
Yeah.
Go get organic tomato sauce or boil tomatoes down and make your own.
Yeah.
And go get a block of cheese and shred it yourself and put it on. And they were like, wait, are you telling me as my health coach, I can eat pizza? I was like, yeah, every fucking night if you want. But you have to promise me you're going to make it at home. And they find when they do this, you eat less. Mm-hmm. When you put so much effort into creating something, you naturally eat less of it. And the ingredients are way healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all levels.
French fries, make them at home. Crab Rangoons, make them at home.
Yeah. If anything, so far, the things you can do to create like an immediate change is, like we said, wake up, don't touch your phone, go downstairs, get some water, and just walk outside for a minute.
Don't look at your phone.
Yeah.
Don't look at the TV. It. Oh my gosh.
Spend 5 minutes doing that.
Can you imagine some households, people wake up to like commercials on the TV, like the sound of it echoing throughout the house?
Well, we used to have a joke like with friends of ours back in the day. It was like, I forget his name, it was so long ago, but it's like he would wake up with Cheeto fingers and the TV on. And literally, like he would wake up with Cheeto fingers and the TV still playing. And it's like,
because he fell asleep eating Cheetos watching TV.
Yep.
Oh, the person in me that loves to floss her teeth is cringing.
Yeah.
But that's so common.
Yeah. But I even think to somebody like him, I could overwhelm him and say, talk about his insulin pump and talk about how carbohydrates break down. Or I could just say, hey, wake up with your Cheeto fingers, drink a glass of water, walk outside with your bag of Cheetos, and just do that for the next 2 weeks. And then see what comes from that. Like there's so many good things that'll happen from just these very small, simple, anyone can do changes.
But here we go. I would dive deep into it and be like, yo, if you wake up with orange stained fingers with Home Shopping Network on TV, what's wrong? Are you okay? Is your wife just a royal bitch to you?
Yeah.
Is your family abandoned you? Are they overworking you and underpaying you at work? Like, let's talk.
Yeah.
Because that is also a huge, huge thing at IIN. What I was saying is primary versus secondary food. Your primary food plate are things like relationships to friends, to spouse, your children, your work atmosphere. What do you do for a living? Your free time. Do you have any hobbies? What else is on your... Come on, pull it up, IIN grad.
That's what I was going to do. I'm just going to pull it up.
And then secondary food, as trained health coaches, we focus on this next, is your carbs, sugars, proteins, fats.
Your spiritual practice.
Okay.
Your social life.
This is all primary food.
Relationship, home environment, health, physical activity, home cooking, education, career, finances.
Yeah.
And it goes back around.
So with Cheeto fingers, we would sit down and be like, look at this pie. Click on the slice that is imbalanced. And he'd probably click on all of them.
Well, the thing is like you won't make any long-lasting change in your life when it comes to food and healthy options if you're not happy, if you don't have some kind of spiritual practice, whatever it may be. If your money, if you feel unbalanced with money, you're not.
You're stressed as fuck.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is all I can afford. I can't go to Whole Foods, Jordan.
Yeah. I'm not uppity like you. It's like,
no,
what you're telling me is we need to work on your limiting belief before we work on your weight.
Boom. I need to open that keyword and have a bomb drop. Yes, that's exactly right. I had a handful, probably 3 to 4 clients that I never talked about what to eat. We only, because their whole, poor things, their whole primary plate was unbalanced. And they would cry and say, Steph, none of those areas of life are good for me.
Yeah.
And so I'd say, okay. Fuck gluten-free, dairy-free. We're not even going to talk about that, friend.
Yep.
Let's bite-size piece. Talk about this primary plate. And as a result, when you fix just 3 of those 12 things, naturally you're going to choose the fruit over the candy bar. Naturally you're going to say, okay, I'll get a burger, but I'm going to eat it on lettuce instead of bread.
Yep.
It's very powerful.
Yep. Now you start to love yourself.
Yes.
and when you start to care about your body, when you look at your body and your mind and your soul as being part of you, you start to respect yourself a little more, and you start to look at your body and say, hey, I'm sorry that I hurt you yesterday doing this. I'll do better tomorrow by doing this. And ultimately, your body does no different than a human in your life. It says, thank you, I appreciate that. And by doing that, I'm going to help you in this way. Yeah. But
I think you can always tell who gets into relationships to fill a void rather than getting into a relationship to grow, learn, and have a life partner that's balanced both ways, because they gain weight. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that might trigger a lot of people, but good, because it's true.
Yeah.
I think if you gain weight after you get into a relationship with someone, you're latching on to them for something.
Yes, I agree.
Because if it's a balanced partnership and you're feeding each other and you're giving and taking equally, depositing and withdrawing out of the bank, I just don't think people like that gain weight. You know what I'm trying to say?
No, they don't. Because, and the thing is like somebody could say like, well, it has nothing to do with my relationship while I gain weight. But here's the thing. A healthy partner who cares about you, wants the best for you, will always see these things and identify these things with you and try and actively help you with them as well. So it's one of the two. Either you're latching onto something. Now you feel different.
Now you're comfortable.
Now you're comfortable. Like,
okay, I have someone who's filling the role of mom or dad, and I can relax.
Or
nom, 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 nom.
And if that person thinks that way and the other person doesn't say anything in a kind manner or try and help, that's basically telling me the other person doesn't give a shit about you as well. So then you just have two people who are with each other for whatever reason that's actually not healthy. So if you saw me gaining a bunch of weight or you saw me doing a bunch of unhealthy things, and we do this, we've done it. Hey, JL, I've noticed this, and it just doesn't seem like it's aligned
What's
with who you are.
Work?
Like, are you good? And it's like, no, fuck, she's right. But just the fact that you said that means you noticed, and by noticing means you care. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody doesn't point things out to you kindly, do they really care?
Do you think a couple, can one be a fucking athlete, triathlon, and the other one be morbid obese?
No.
Why?
Nope. There's just no way you're morally aligned and being honest with each other and yourself if that's the case. No. If the morbidly obese person is not actively trying to become better and healthier, no.
They don't need to become a triathlon athlete, do they?
No, not at all. Not at all. But they need to respect their body that they were given. And if they don't respect their body, somebody whom does and pushes limits and does these things, they're never going to look at that person and say, that's okay, ever. I wouldn't even do that with a friend, much less a partner. No, there's no way.
Very true.
And if you do, you're just lying.
Why do you think that is? And I just, guys, please don't take offense to this. This is just reality. When you see an overweight couple, typically their children are also overweight. When you see here in Colorado, we see a very fit couple because it's just the entire outdoors here is a massive playground, which comes with physical exercise. We have seen 2-year-olds scaling rock walls at the playground with no help. And we're like, wow, that kid is more ripped than we are. And he's 3.
I know it's everywhere, but I grew up in Texas and I've been a lot of places. And never in my life have I seen families and children as active as in fit as I have in Colorado.
But why do you think it is that there's, if mom and dad are overweight, the children more than likely are?
Oh, because
if mom and dad are fit, you're not going to see an overweight child.
Monkey see, monkey do. Your children will be exactly who you are in every single manner. Like from 0 to 5, they watch your every step. And if your step is going to the pantry every night at midnight to grab cookies and they're watching you pour, I'm a perfect example. Why did I drink a gallon of milk a day? It wasn't because I liked milk. It was because I watched my dad drink milk. Why did I put milk inside my ice cream? Why did I eat butter pecan ice cream? It wasn't because I liked it. It was because I watched my dad eat butter pecan ice cream.
How come you didn't drink alcohol when your mom did all the time?
Because I saw how stupid and fucking crazy people were, and I didn't want to be that. Serious.
All right. And
it's monkey see, monkey do. Kids want to be their parents.
Yep.
And until they get to a certain age and have their own consciousness and realize, ooh, I don't want to be like them. I want to do this. They're going to mimic everything you do. They're going to mimic your words. They're going to mimic your actions, and they're going to mimic your eating habits.
That's why we always frequently talk about this, because we are kind of both fertility health coaches on the side here. The best age to have children, both physically and emotionally, and we both agree that it's probably 30 or beyond. Unless you grew up in a wonderful household where you were raised right and new, then of course having them in your 20s is great. But these holistic practices.
Yeah.
I was lucky and picked them up at 24, but you were 30. And your average, I think you're lucky.
I think I'm...
I don't think people pick this up until something huge happens in their late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, shit. But then their kids are already teenagers.
Yeah.
Because you got to have them at 25.
Damage was done. Women will love it. I think women are ready way before men. I think women by between 28 and 31, women are definitely at that age where they have not only matured, but y'all have learned so many things. You really understand things like hormones and who you are and right from wrong. Men need a little bit longer.
Yeah, they do.
I would say a man should really wait until he's 33, 34, 35 to think about having kids. And this is coming from somebody who had them before he was 30 as well. Like, there's a lot to learn as an individual before you bring children into this world.
Holistic lifestyle for them.
Yep.
You're just repeating generational patterns. These poor kids, if we aren't wisening up our generation, we are pouring glyphosate down these kids' necks.
Yeah. And it's never about being perfect. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to know it all. Dude. We'll die at 90 still learning. But there is some like key principles to life that you should know and have a pretty good grasp on before you have kids. And that comes like financially, morally.
Holistically.
Like there's a few things that you should really be learning a lot about before you bring a child into this world. The world's tough enough. They don't need their parent adding toughness on them.
And I just want to remind people, because we don't talk about it that much anymore, and we're going to keep this private, but you, of all people, I would listen to that piece of advice from, because you have had children and lost them, essentially, in custody issues that will remain between us. And so you felt both ends of a coin, having kids and not having kids, seeing the good and seeing the bad.
Yeah.
And for you to sit here and say, guys, please, work on yourselves.
Yeah.
Don't just have kids to keep up with the Joneses. No. Ask yourself these questions. That is another podcast episode, but I just wanted to like give you a nod and say like those words are heavy coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. You're going to be left with making a choice, and you're not going to like the choice if you don't make these hard decisions before bringing kids into this world.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to make them after.
Yeah. Because I can imagine that you don't have a say in what they eat.
Yeah.
You have a very holistic lifestyle, but their mother, I'm assuming, doesn't.
Nope.
And you, too bad. You can, when you have them, you can feed them what you want, but.
Yep. Yeah.
That alone, that would give me hives.
Yeah.
Miss control freak.
Yeah. No. But you gotta, that's why I say you gotta figure out finances, food, and some of these other things before you have relationships, primary friendships.
Food. Yep. If you don't have a balanced primary food plate,
don't have kids.
You ain't ready.
Nope.
You will be. It doesn't mean you won't ever have kids. It just means, hey, put in some work to make this process easy for you and everyone involved.
Yes.
So I want to go over this list I made before the show of how we live a holistic lifestyle. So it's just going to be like a rapid fire, and you can just share whatever you want to. But this makes up the bulk of our holistic, natural lifestyle. We eat whole foods.
Yes.
We read the labels on everything. What are we looking for? No soybean oil, canola oil.
Nope.
No oils. If it's not like a, what is the oil? Tallow? No olive oil.
No olive oil. Yeah. We try and cut out all seed oils. We cook with coconut oil most of the time.
And tallow.
Yep.
And whole foods, which means if something has like more than 5 ingredients, it's processed. You probably shouldn't be eating it.
Yeah. And I mean, ideally looking for things that are single ingredient foods.
Meat, egg.
Yeah. Like meat, vegetables,
rice,
fruit. Yes. Yep.
Single ingredient
foods.
We don't use a microwave.
No.
We don't have a microwave in our kitchen.
Nope.
This is something I picked up from my mom. We just never have. We had a toaster oven, or we just used a skillet or the oven.
All I ever knew was a microwave. And I never knew how bad a microwave was for you until meeting you.
It's really not that it's bad because it's just heating up your food. But what it does is it saps the nutrients, everything. So you're just eating empty calories. You might as well go to McDonald's.
Yep.
It's pointless. Like, oh, I'm having steamed veggies for lunch. I popped them in the microwave. It's like you're just eating mush.
Well, and the bad thing is a lot of those times, what do those steamed vegetables come in?
Plastic
bag that you then heat up.
With heat.
There you go. So.
Why are my hormones so messed up, Dale?
Yeah. Why can't I poop? Well, you're full of plastic.
Yep. Exactly. We source food from people we know, especially our meat.
Yep.
Or you are going to hunt.
Yep.
So if you want to eat meat, this is a huge thing, guys. So I was vegan, strict vegan. No bee pollen, nothing. For two and a half years because I love animals. And I also knew about deforestation. I thought red meat was just this inflammatory cigarette thing. But when I worked with a naturopathic doctor, she encouraged me to go on a paleo diet because a lot of adrenal fatigue is, yes, stress, burning the midnight oil, like I said on last week's episode. But it was a lack of nutrients.
Yep.
I didn't realize as a vegan, you must supplement your B complex vitamins, your B12s, your B6. I had no idea. So I didn't do blood work on it, but based off of my symptoms, I think I was deficient in so many things. So here's my body at night, like we were just saying, trying to repair organs that are stressed and inflamed. We don't have the tools. She's not eating B vitamins. Nope. Shit.
Nope. Omega-3s.
My hair got so thin. I remember calling my ponytail a pencil.
Yeah.
My cycle, I started to have spotting in the middle of my cycles. It was just a mess.
Yeah. You got to.
So we source food from people we know, especially meat.
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
So
how can people do that?
Farmers markets. First and foremost, there's normally farmers markets everywhere. I know not everybody's blessed to have them, but if you are, look for farmers markets because within those you can start to navigate and network with people, and that's how we found Tony. Was at the farmers market in 30A PCB, Panama City, and come to find out, he raises his own cattle. He handles it from beginning to end with his own hands. I got to spend time with him at his butcher shop in the facility and where the cattle are, and I've seen everything from beginning to end. And not only was it a healthy approach, it was the most ethical approach as well. And Tony's a good dude. And if I want somebody handling my food, I'd want it to be him. So farmer's market would be a huge one that I would tell any client right away. Seek a farmer's market. If you can't, go online. You have the greatest tool at your fingertips normally. Google. Yeah. Google. There's places that will send you meat, like Force of Nature, who are here in Colorado and do a phenomenal job as well. So I know it may cost more, but that's where you lean back on the primary food chart and say, okay, I need to get my finances a little more in order because I want to be able to take care of my health more so than anything.
That leads to the next thing I have. We don't have health insurance.
Mm-mm.
Smart or wise?
I think, to me, smart.
I haven't had health insurance since I quit my 9-to-5. And then, of course, because we're conditioned, like, you got to have car insurance. I got to have health insurance. So I was like, all right, well, my company's not providing it anymore. Let me just go ahead and do what all the other... Oh, my, $500, $600 a month?
Yep.
With a $25,000 deductible for myself?
Yep.
Holy shit. So I was like, okay, that's a massive expense. That's a pretty nice car payment right there.
Yeah.
And then I broke it down. I said, okay, well, if I buy supplements, I buy organic eggs, free-range meat. From
exercise.
Well, I broke the money down. Said, what can I do with $500 a month?
Yeah.
I can get a massage. I can get energy work. Mm-hmm. I can use all that for preventative measures.
Yep.
Yes, if I break my leg in a car accident, I will be met with some consequences.
Yeah.
But I was just like, again, no.
Yeah,
I'd rather take that $500 a month and do preventative things.
Yeah, same. That's always been my motto for probably, like the last 10 years.
Get a lymphatics massage.
Yeah.
Baby Jay, the lymph nodes like you were talking about in your iPad.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go too detailed in it because I lose people in my Virgo.
Yeah.
But yes, if you really think about life in every form, you should look at things as prevent. Let's prevent things from happening, right? Like you don't throw your toddler in a pool and say, they'll swim like our parents used to, but they'll swim. No, you say, how do I prevent them from drowning while teaching them at the same time? It's like, oh, let's do this and let's do this. Your health should be the same thing.
Yeah.
You should look at it as in a way to prevent, not then later have to deal with the consequences of not preventing it when it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
So simple.
You have to be your own best doctor. When you go get blood work, you can't trust the doctor to know what they need. No one knows your body as good as you do.
Yeah.
You have to be your own best doctor. Doctors are awesome in case of an emergency and for surgeries and things like that. But for the basic stuff, colds, flus, allergies, like, you got to be your own best doctor in this climate.
That's something I noticed with the boys over time was I got to a point where, with myself too, but because of them, in the beginning, as a parent, you freak out about everything, and you take them to the doctor and all this, and you expect them to fix something, and there's nothing to fix. They look at you and say, well, that'll be $150 copay and this and that, but just take them home, give them fluids, let them rest, and do this, and you start to realize, wait. I can do a lot of preventative things, and there's actually a lot of things I can do even in the moment, unless it is something serious, like you're going to get sent back anyway. So let me just start doing a better job at preventing things from happening, and let me become knowledgeable and aware of what to do in those moments so I don't even have to visit the doctor. I can be the doctor unless it is an absolute must that I go see one.
Yeah.
So.
Do you know Pedialyte? That's always what they give kids when they're sick.
They say it's electrolytes. It's fucking sugar.
It's water, dextrose, so sugar, citric acid, artificial flavor, potassium citrate, salt, sodium, sucralose, and yellow 6.
Yeah. Put a little bit of... So here you go, right? When you start to go to places like IAN, you become more aware. You say, okay, for my kid, I'm going to mix coconut water.
Yep.
They need it to be sweet because they won't drink it. It's where maple we live in. Syrup. I'm going to put some maple syrup in it. There's some benefits with maple syrup. And
but when you say this is the world we live in, that's actually not true.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of kids here in Colorado that we see who are like, ew, this ice cream's too sweet.
Ugh. But what's sad is they're few and far between, because if they were, then we wouldn't have all these nasty options on the shelf.
Because it's, I know, and I get it. When you are a parent, it's like, I'm so tired. Throw them a Pop-Tart. Just go.
Go get a Pop-Tart.
But maybe you shouldn't.
No.
Maybe, I can just hear the people listening like, you don't have kids full time. I don't know what it's like.
Bullshit. I was around enough full time.
Yes, you definitely.
That were. I can promise you. You can work out with kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat healthy with kids. I traveled across the country with a 2 and a 3-year-old, like by myself. There's no excuses for things. Sure, we want to be lazy at times, mm-hmm. but there's no excuses.
Jeffrey's great practice.
Yeah, serious.
We cook every meal at home. People don't believe us when we say this.
If we're being completely honest, there might be one time every few months that we grab something from somewhere else. If we're in Durango, we grab a salad at this one place because we know we're...
Salad.
But even then, we eat healthy. If the one time every 90 days we go somewhere, other than that, we cook at home.
We do so many dishes.
You do more than me.
I don't mind at all because I love it. Because it's a reminder of, oh my God, we cook every single meal at home.
Yeah.
If we want a baked good or something with our coffee that we might go pick up at Roots where we go socialize with people, we will make it and bring it with us.
Yep.
It's just these tiny little efforts that go into, and again, some people are like, I don't have time. Well, I love baking because it's something for our family. It's healthy. I can pour love into it. It's a creation. It's an art piece. You have time.
The time you would sit in the line at McDonald's or scrolling on Instagram, you can order Green Chef. You can order one of these food prepping companies that will send you a really a good meal that you just, it tells you how to cook it. It tells you how the timeline. It tells you everything. You can make your own food at home.
I think that right there is cooking every meal at home is huge.
Yes.
We know exactly what oils, what seasonings. We know everything. I can't.
Yeah.
When we try to go out to eat, because it's like, wow, it's nice to not have to clean up. We usually eat it because we're like, oh, this is okay.
We always say the same thing.
But we're like, it's not as good as ours. Yep. It doesn't taste as good. It's like, it was so expensive too.
Yep.
How people go out to eat, even if you go to McDonald's and get the dollar menu or whatever, like
that shit. Even if you're single.
That shit adds up quick. Mm-hmm. So when people are like, you spend what every month on groceries and meat and local shit, it's like, let's go add up your Starbucks tab and see that we're neck and neck. In fact, you probably spend more than we do.
Yeah. Two of us spending, let's just make it easy, $1,000 a month on quote unquote fancy food, what most people say.
Organic food.
Organic food and healthy food. The time we spend cooking it, it is way less money and time than you spend at the line somewhere and that you spend eating out. I can promise you. And then we avoid paying health insurance because we're healthy.
Yeah, we do. You just got your blood work done and the whole panel was beautiful.
Yeah.
Which we eat the same, so hopefully mine are as good as yours. We'll see. But we also shop at natural grocers because we live in such a small mountain town. We really only have two options, which is the big city market and which is like AGB of Texas.
Well, that so that answers the question because I think the question was, how do y'all live a holistic life in a big box store world?
Oh, yeah.
We avoid the big box stores.
We don't even live somewhere where there's a Walmart here, but it's half the size of regular ones. It's tiny. So we live in a community that is super small and holistic minded. Everybody loves to be outside. Natural Grocers is our market of choice, and every single item in there is organic.
Yeah.
So there is no reading labels. There is no worrying. Like, everything's organic.
Yeah.
So with that said, like if you live in a big box store and you're like, should I buy this organic, that organic, anything you eat the skin of, think peach, strawberry, grapes, blueberries, raspberries, you're eating the skin, get those organic. So yes. Important. Things like bananas, avocados, dragon fruit.
I hate how
those are okay to get whatever.
We used to look at organic foods and you'll have an organic apple sit next to a regular Granny Smith apple, and the Granny Smith that has pesticides on it will say 65 cents. The organic one says $1.05. Somewhere in our mind, that tells us that's going to be way too expensive.
40 cents.
But the thing is you're only going to buy a few of most of these items. You're not just going to stock up on 1,000 tomatoes. So realize that like you may think you're going to pay more, but you're actually not. Mm-hmm. And why would you not want to give your body best fuel so then you can then go chase all those dreams and do all those things that you know
you're
deserving of. Enjoy your kids. Like
now the importance of getting organic is the big G word we've been throwing around.
Yes.
Glyphosate. Baby J, what's glyphosate?
So glyphosate is a pesticide, I think pesticide.
Yep.
Herbicide, pesticide that they use to not only kill weeds and things and crops, but to keep bugs and pests off of the food because they need to maximize the crop because we as humans just need to consume. And it is one of the most toxic chemicals inside the gut. And your gut is everything. Your gut is where your brain health lives. Your gut is where your skin health lives. Your gut is where everything lives. The thing that I learned at IAN and then I found out from a guy that I really enjoy, Sean, whom has a huge following, he does things on a cellular level. They all say the same thing. If you have an issue in life, it all starts and ends in the gut. And glyphosate is tearing apart your gut microbiome.
And how it does, and this is, I learned this in IIN too. If you guys want to sign up for IIN, please look in the show notes or go to our website. I'm an ambassador for the school, so you can get a discount using Stephanie Powers or Lightworkers Lounge. Please write that down and remember it if you are curious about enrolling. Glyphosate is a chemical they spray on mostly wheat, which is why wheat products, gluten, so breads, bagels, cereals, are the most contaminant to your gut. Glyphosate was something created in World War II in a chemical warfare school in Germany. And they spray this chemical all over the wheat plant, that glowing gold wheat field. And what it does is when a pest goes to take a bite, a bug, of the wheat, it explodes. The chemical glyphosate makes the bug explode on contact. And so if we are eating that chemical that makes a ladybug explode, what is it doing in our gut? Little explosions. And these little explosions compound and add up to what is called leaky gut. We have holes in our stomach lining that causes IBS, inflammation, autoimmunity, because autoimmunity is the body attacking itself, saying, whoa, what's going on? There's a foreign invader, foreign object, get it out, sound the alarms. That foreign invader is a food that is slipping through your leaky gut, your gut lining with holes, causing a myriad of health issues.
Yeah, so I was wrong. Glyphosate is a herbicide, not a pesticide, herbicide. It works by blocking an enzyme that is essential for plant growth as well. And the thing with that is if you read something that says blocking an enzyme, your gut is 100% enzymes. So if the purpose of it in the field is to block enzymes, you then ingest that. Now you're blocking your own enzymes. You're killing your own enzymes. It's like, and you'll read things that say, well, glyphosate is proven to not be harmful to humans. But then if you actually really read into it, there's like long-term DNA effects too, that aren't just the immediate gut problem, mm-hmm. like long-term DNA mutations. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Avoid it.
It's difficult. Remember we attended a seminar once and this woman was like, glyphosate is so big that people are actually getting their blood tested to see the levels of it. And she was like, I am a doctor and I eat strictly organic. Yeah. She lives in California where the vast majority of our produce is produced. And she had like 25% glyphosate in her blood. And she's like, I don't know how. I don't eat.
She was upfront and honest. She's like, I did a study on myself. I did not eat anything but these foods for like 30 days or however long. And she's like, got my test and I have glyphosate in me. And there's no way that I actually consumed it unless it's on something else that says it doesn't have it.
Of course it is. So. It's so silly. You go into a grocery store and you see like the apples or the avocados. It's kind of like when we were growing up and you go out to eat and they say smoking or non-smoking. And you go sit in the non-smoking, but the smoker's smoke carries over and you're like, God, that's no different. If you're growing organic right next to a field of non-organic, when the fucking plant, as a plane flies over, when the plane flies over the crop to spray it with glyphosate, you think the wind isn't carrying that over?
Guess what the four top foods covered in glyphosate are.
Number one is strawberries.
Nope.
Corn.
Almonds. Apples, apricots, and asparagus.
What? Is that the Dirty Dozen list?
This one is from npr.org.
Ooh, that's a good source. And then
mygenefoods.com.
So I still, because I understand budgeting purposes and everything right now, it's just astronomical with inflation. So again, keep the rule of thumb of skin. Do I eat the skin on this?
Yeah.
Yes or no? And especially with wheat products like pastas, macaroni and cheese for your kids, I get it. Choose organic. It's worth the extra dollar, especially the gluten.
Yeah.
We don't drink alcohol.
No. Nope. We have before. We're not sitting here saying we're perfect and we haven't. But even when we did,
our drink of choice was ranch water, which is just tequila, seltzer, and a squirt of lime.
No.
So there's no syrups, colors, flavors.
No.
Tequila is the most holistic natural alcohol, straight from a plant. There's not a lot of processing that goes into it.
That's why my mom drinks. I'll get a lot of it, I guess.
That's why she looks so good for her age.
No, we don't drink.
We don't.
When is the last time we actually even had a alcoholic beverage?
I mean, that apricot mint drink down at Neon Mallory looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good.
So we're not against it, but it's just if we do, we'll probably share one cocktail together and then feel fine. I don't know about you, but even in my college days when I would just chug Jaeger bombs and play beer pong and then ride to class on my scooter, I'm so sensitive to alcohol.
It's poison. It's
my
poison.
Oh, my God. I literally, no one would believe me back in the day, but I'd be like, one shot of Jaeger, I'm done. I'm good. I'm buzzed for the night. They'd be like, what? I'd have other girls like four beers in, two bottles of wine, and they're just buzzed.
One of the things I'm most proud of, and that even people who have hated me and maybe still hate me to this day, one of the things that they would all come out and say is that they never, ever, probably ever saw me drunk. Like I wasn't a drinker. I've never been a drinker. Not to say I haven't drank, but alcohol is just not something that I've ever wanted to even really mess with.
And alcoholism runs in your family, so it's really admirable that... Do you think... Because it runs in mine, too. And I've often asked my brother, like, hey, why do you think you and I don't drink? And he's like, because our family members that do are fucking idiots, and I never wanted... They taught me what not to do.
I'm sure my Virgo everything was like, definitely don't want to be that, don't want to act like that, and that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And then now as I'm 35, I'm like...
You don't even like being around people who are drunk.
No, I can't fucking stand it. It
makes you uncomfortable.
It does. Yeah.
I wonder if it brings back... But I like fucking with people when they're drunk.
No, I just... It's annoying being around people who will purposefully poison themselves.
And I agree in the sense of some people get violent and super like, what the fuck's your problem, man?
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, God, come on.
That's a big deal. But will we drink in the future? Yes. Probably. At some point, we'll have a drink, whatever.
At
but
an event.
But knowing when I have Mimosas. That drink, that it's poison. Like, I have to accept the fact that, like, okay, I'm going to poison my body for
so
what?
Sad.
What is the reason right now?
And to does feel that, good.
Does that outweigh the later? So.
And think of how normal it is in our culture. Wake up, pop a Keurig, and then get home. I mean, mommy needs a drink.
Yeah.
It's wine o'clock.
Well, how many people are going to listen to this podcast and either before or after go out and drink with their friends and do all this? I get that, quote unquote, it's a social thing, but you can drink water on the rocks and have just as good a time.
Mm-hmm.
There's, again, primary food. There's a deeper level.
Yeah. So. If you... Yeah, go ahead. We'll call people out and trigger them. If you feel like you need a glass of wine at the end of every day, what are you doing for work?
Yes.
Because I go home, I close my laptop, and I feel like going to play Frisbee because I'm like, that was a bomb-ass day. I had great calls, great conversations, changed lives. Let's go play.
And whomever may be triggered by it, if they were to hang out with us for a day or two, I guarantee you they wouldn't drink.
No, you don't need to. Mm-mm. I think a lot of people drink for social anxiety.
I think so too.
They don't feel confident or loved or entertaining enough.
Yeah.
Unless.
It allows them to quote unquote be themselves.
I've felt that when I've gone to like, I don't know, weddings or something that I'm like, oh, I feel out of place. I'm like, mimosa, please.
Yeah.
Double the champagne, squirt of orange juice.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have.
People I'm uncomfortable around, I'll drink around.
Yeah.
In the past when I was young. But yeah, I've never. Meh.
Yeah.
Because you're right. When as soon as I drink it and you feel that warmth or that... I mean, we've gone over this. It's called spirits.
Yeah.
There's some spiritual people that say you connect with the devil and it thins the veil so you can get psychic attack. And then there's other people that are like, I love it because it's a celebratory juice.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more than a toast
with
someone at a wedding. Let's toast, clink our glasses.
Yeah.
Take a drink of these spirits to celebrate.
Yep.
It's a celebratory thing.
Yeah.
But just like cake and sweets, you're not supposed to eat that every day.
No, not at all. And you can do the same toast with water. What's in the cup doesn't matter. It's the feeling that's going into it.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not totally against alcohol, but it's definitely, we haven't had a sip of alcohol. Oh my God.
That's what I was thinking. Like, when is the last
my
time
birthday?
I actually?
Nope.
No.
Christmas? Nope.
No.
Thanksgiving,
we didn't,
nope.
And New Year's, we didn't do, I don't think we did champagne.
Wait, we got our Chinese takeout, but did we do?
I don't remember us doing, I remember in the Keys, we did, but I don't remember this time.
That honestly might have been the last time.
Yeah.
It was New Year's Eve 2020.
Yeah. I don't remember drinking.
Wow, look at us.
Yeah.
Kombucha all the way. We make mocktails.
Yes.
They're so yummy. And we put kombucha in it. We put CBD.
Well, that was my thing. People drink drinks like, I think they originated up north, like O'Doul's, right? Mm-hmm. Is the alcohol-free
beer. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like what people actually crave is that fizzy, nasty, like
taste.
And you can get that in many ways.
Yeah. You can put CBD or kombucha, like strong fermented kombucha. Mm-hmm. There are some people, kombucha is a fermented tea that's really good for probiotics in the gut.
Yep.
But there's a lot of people that will buy it and then wait until it's expired because it ferments into a fine wine. And the alcohol content in it is natural, first of all.
Yep.
But it's like 2%. Yep. Tiny. And people love that. Do you want a White Claw?
Oh my God, don't let me start on White Claw. Jesus.
What are all those things? They're just fermented sugar, right?
That's it. It's just tons of, it's tons
what
of sugar.
What is White Claw made out of?
Oh Lord. It's half Libra and half bougie.
Seriously, Libra is the sign to be drinking
it is.
White Claw.
It is.
What do Capricorns drink? Like a fine gin.
No, Capricorns either drink gin or they'll have a glass of what's the nasty red wine that it's like super dry, Merlot or something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're like
Aquarius drinks. I mean, my mom's Aquarius. She drinks gin.
She doesn't really drink, though.
No, she likes the ganja.
Because by the time Aquarius pours the drink, they're like, wait, who actually made this? Where'd it come from? I don't even want this anymore.
What does Pisces drink?
Let's go watch Neil deGrasse. What does a Pisces drink?
Yeah.
Whatever the person they're romanticizing about drinks.
That's true. Whatever the person they're crushing on drinks.
Yeah. Truth.
You could say that about Libra, too. What does an Aries drink? They slam Jaeger bombs.
Jaeger bombs.
Red Bull and vodka.
An Aries listening to this, getting triggered, is going to go out tonight and go, you know what, Jordan? I'm going to drink what the fuck I want. I'm going to go be an Aries.
What does a Taurus drink? Fine wine. Yeah. No, mimosas. A mimosa, champagne.
A mimosa or a really good smooth wine champagne. Is a Taurus. Yeah.
As a Taurus rising, I can guzzle champagne. I love it a bubbly.
Okay. Yeah, but even it's been a long time since you've drank it, but even when you have drank it, most people drink champagne in the morning. Most mimosas are like a morning drink. You actually like mimosas more in the evening. I'll drink in the morning.
Right, because alcohol, my poor body, when I drink, I don't care what it is, I pass out. Taurus nap. Good night. Bye-bye. She closed the blinds.
Even if somebody said, gun to your head, you got to drink something today, you would pick a mimosa, and then they would say, well, what time of day? And you would always pick in the evening.
Yeah, because then I can go in the nights.
Yeah.
What does a Gemini drink?
Oh, God. They order 4 or 5 drinks and just sip them all.
Sex on the beach. Hurricane.
Yep.
Hurricane mixed drink. That used to be so yummy.
Whatever one has the most shit in it.
Colors. Umbrellas.
Yeah.
What does a Cancer drink?
The strongest drink, because they probably just got broken up with and they're drowning their sorrows. So like a Jack straight on the rocks or something. Just or Leo. Shots of tequila.
Leo drinks a Cosmopolitan.
What is... No. A Leo martini. Is the a dirty martini with like fucking an olive hanging out. That's a Leo.
Or a Bloody Mary.
Yep.
No, that's Scorpio.
No, that's Scorpio.
Scorpio is like extra blood.
And a Scorpio actually doesn't even have any alcohol in it because they want to make you think that they're drunk when they're not. So they're figuring out everything about
that's
you.
That's really fucking good. Virgo drinks IPA in Colorado.
Or water. Here's what I used to do. Water on the rocks.
Virgo drinks fermented kombucha.
Yes. Yes.
Libra. White Claw.
Whatever BDD's drinking.
They look at whatever the person they have a crush on is drinking. Like, you like beer?
You have literally watched this with your own eyes.
Yes, I have. I have seen it. You have too.
You drink that? I do right now.
Okay, everyone's favorite sign, Sag. What do they do?
Anything and everything that somebody is buying, as long as there's a scooter involved and In-N-Out Burger
in the
after.
Cups at beer pong, just shut it.
Yeah. A Sag will drink the beer out of the beer pong
shots,
cup
whatever's in the
that
shot
actually
cup.
Has like somebody's dip spit cup. They'll throw it down too. Yeah. Fuck it. Keep going. Whatever.
Yep. And then they always do woo after that.
When it doesn't even call for a woo. Yeah. And then an earth sign will look at a Sag and go, what are
is
you doing?
Wrong with you?
Yeah.
You would have hated me in college. We don't use things with fragrance.
Big one, endocrine disruptor. Won't talk too much about that, but no fragrance, especially
none.
For women.
Especially for women. In laundry.
Yes.
These are garments that are sitting on your skin. Your skin is your largest organ. Yes, women with all the sensitive hormones, fragrance is your worst enemy. Listen to me right now. Download an app called Think Dirty. This is an app that you can take a photo of all the barcodes of everything you use, from shampoo, conditioner, lotion, face wash, all the makeup you put on your face, everything. You scan the barcode or look up the product, and it rates it on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is the green light. This is good. This is clean. Go ahead. Put it on. 10 is red light. Stop. This is cancer-causing. You need to immediately throw it away.
Yeah.
When I was healing my autoimmunity, gluten was number one. This was number two. And when I found the Think Dirty app, it was so long ago. It was still in the startup stage. Crazy. So I would scan everything in my bathroom and everything I used. There wasn't, down to my toothpaste, there was not a single thing that was under 5.
This is such a crazy topic now because there's even people whom you wouldn't think, like Andy Frisella, talking about lotions and sunblocks and things like that. that, like, now you know it's real, real, because now not even holistic people are talking about it. You got
everybody,
everyday individuals finally saying, like, holy shit, what I'm putting on my skin and the laundry soap I'm using, like, oh my God, I didn't realize that it was this bad for us, but now we're seeing the effects. So yes.
No fragrance, parfume, P-A-R-F-U-M, nothing, unless it is scented with natural essential oils, plant-derived, do not. And I know, guys, I've got good memories of smelling fresh laundry at grandma's house hanging on the line. I get it. But you can use essential oils to recreate a more natural fragrance. Yep. And in the same way as eliminating sugar, you train your taste buds and you train your nose, your senses, to avoid these things. If you and I were to go suck down a caramel, we couldn't. We'd take one sip of a caramel macchiato and spit it out. We'd think we were drinking Aunt Jemima's syrup.
I got something for everybody. You have an essential oil. Purchase that essential oil and
put it on a drop. Wool ball.
Yep.
Wool dryer ball.
Yep.
Put 3 drops of it on there, and your laundry will smell like fresh jasmine, geranium, and frankincense.
Yep.
And those things help hormones and anxiety.
There you go.
Double whammy. When people use, like our neighbors, when they are drying their clothes with their Tide detergent, we can smell it in our kitchen. If we're riding a bike in a neighborhood, guarantee you'll smell someone's laundry.
We used to ride in the Keys and we'd say, somebody's doing laundry.
Yes. And so if that fragrance and chemical is so strong, did you know the word fragrance is an umbrella for over 250 chemicals? They don't have, the FDA does not make them tell you what chemicals go into it. Spraying on perfume. Oh my God. Where do women spray it? Right on their neck. Right on the thyroid, baby.
What's the other one?
Deodorant. Our armpits are made to sweat. When they sweat, this is toxins leaving your body. And what do we do? We're like, ew, I don't want sweat stains.
Yeah.
So we block, we literally with our deodorant, we block those pores, especially women, freshly shaved
with pits, fragrance.
Black it up with the fragrance. And then women wonder why they get breast cancer. Yep. Fun fact of the day. When women are diagnosed, and I know this from personal experience, not me personally, but someone I knew, when they are diagnosed with breast cancer, the first thing the doctor says is no more deodorant. Stop immediately. I have used limes as deodorant since I was 24 and healing my autoimmunity. Steph, what the fuck? Yes.
Every
limes.
Morning.
Lime juice.
Yeah.
I buy limes from the grocery store every time I go. Yep. And I slice it in the morning and I dab it onto my skin. I do not do it on the days I shave my armpits because it will burn and sting. And sometimes when you've got really sensitive skin, if you go in the sun, it can blister. So you've got to be cautious and really just put on a minimal amount. But I naturally don't stink because of my diet.
There you go. That's what I was hoping you were getting at.
Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah. Is you, if somebody's like, well, I don't want to stink, it's like, you won't if you change and eat a healthy diet and exercise.
Do you wear deodorant? You're man, I never you're do. Stinkier.
No, I never do. I don't.
I never see you put anything.
The only time that I'll dab something on, if like, if I've just worked out and I just don't want to smell myself as like a sweaty individual, like a human, I'll take a dab of your essential oil and just like put it right here on my shoulder, but not like...
I
don't wear deodorant.
Since we've met each other, we don't buy stick. What did you... Hello.
Okay.
What did you think when you found out that I use limes for deodorant? You were just curious. You're like, what? Let me try that.
Yeah. I didn't... Because you don't stink. Like, there was never a moment in your sweatiest that I ever was like, damn, this girl need to put on some goddamn deodorant.
You say I never have morning breath either.
No, you don't. You do not have morning breath. Your breath never stinks. Nope.
Diet,
but you floss
every
day.
Every single day, but I think that's also diet.
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the gut. When you're sleeping all night, you got your mouth open.
Yep.
And the gut and the bacteria that's breathing in and out, I think that's a reflection of your gut.
Yep.
When you got stanky breath.
100%.
So cleaners as well. We use vinegar-based stuff. Kangen water is a cleaner, but we do not like dish laundry detergent, dish detergent.
Nope.
Dish soap.
We use Dr. Bronner for any soap.
For everything. That's our cleaning stuff right now. Dr. Bronner makes a cleaning solution where you just pour a little bit of his coconut oil based, and he uses essential oils to make it smell nice. And that's what we use.
Yep.
Kangen water mixed with that. And that's what we use to clean everything in our house. Yep. So all the surfaces we touch. I think of people with babies and then when we have the boys sometimes and they crawl, like the boys love to get out of the tub naked and just run around. Their little feet are running all over a floor that you just mopped with Febreze.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my God.
Yep.
People who spray Febreze everywhere.
Yeah, our cleaners are Dr. Glade Bronner's.
Glade plug-ins.
And our body soap is Dr. Bronner's.
Car air fresheners. I don't know why they make that shit. You can smell it two car lengths behind someone. Or if you get out of a car when they had this in there, your hair smells like it. Get clothes pins, the wooden clothes pins. Saturate them with essential oil. Stick them in your air vents. Boom, you have a beautiful car.
Yeah. We look at each other like... super simple, but
it's project. You can get kids involved and say, come on, pick out a smell, put it on.
Grab a couple pine needles off a pine tree, break them apart, leave them in your car somewhere.
If you want your house to smell good over the holidays or something, go outside. We say it so effortlessly, but people will be like, what? They'll go break open a maple leaf, like, doesn't smell. But pine needles here in Colorado, boil them on the stove, boom, with some orange peels.
The thing is, we smell everything. When we're in nature, we break apart things, smell it, and we remember the things that actually have a smell.
Yep, so everything down to our sheets, the floor we walk on, to the clothes sitting on our body all day does not contain chemical. We even splurged on an avocado mattress.
I was going to say, even the mattress we sleep on.
Because think about that. It was a very high ticket item, but... you spend half of your time in bed, sleeping. So if you are marinating in a pool of synthetic chemicals.
Polyester-soaked chemical. Yep.
What are you doing? Yep. So we splurged on an avocado mattress, which is 100% organic cotton.
Yep.
And we're going to keep it to the day we die.
Yep.
Because it was expensive. We don't watch TV.
Nope.
No TV. We do have a TV. Yep. We second-guessed getting one, but baby Joy... what do we watch?
If we do watch anything, we do not have a nightly or daily routine with TV. The once a week or one every 2 weeks when we actually watch it, it will be a nature documentary. It will be something with a history focus. But we do not mindfully watch, like, the closest thing would be Stranger Things. We watch Stranger Things. Other than that, there's no reality shows. There's no other people's lives. There's none of this. It is learning something, or you'll read your book.
Yep.
One of the two.
That's it. The TV is never on in the morning.
No.
Since we met, we have never turned TV on in the morning. It's always really at night, because if the sun is up, we are outside.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun goes down, it's like, okay, let's watch something. Yep. I loved the Kanye West documentary.
That was really good.
That was so good.
But again, we were watching it to really learn about the lifestyle of the R&B artist and how he got to where he was. We weren't watching it to mindfully...
It was inspirational as hell. When he walked into the record label and just said, hey, I'm going to spit to you real quick. Like that, as an entrepreneur, was like...
Watching that is kind of like reading a book that was like a memoir or whatever. Like that was essentially what it was.
It was so cool. So, I learned a lot from it.
Yeah. No reality shit, though.
No, and we only watch the TV if it's a rainy day and there's nothing to do outside or when the sun is down. If the sun is up, you should be outside. We have a lettuce grow. I didn't write that down, but we got our meat from a friend, and we like to grow a lot of lettuce since we put lettuce on everything on a lettuce grow tower. You guys see me promote that all over Instagram.
Yeah.
So it's so important to know where your food comes from. And what do you think of this, Baby J? My last episode yesterday, I talked about the Great Conjunction being in Taurus. Last time it happened was the Great Depression. As an astrologer, I'm predicting a disturbance to our food system.
Which is proven that they could be. Those are kind of like...
What do you think the average person would do if all of a sudden they said, hey, Russia said no more wheat and we can't grow any because we're in a drought all over our country?
They'd die. They'd die. It's proven. It's like...
Could people grow their own food?
No. There's research that shows it. Most people can't even go shop for their own groceries now. Much less grow their own food. Like, this is why if you've watched any of my Instagram stuff or saw yours, or a lot of individuals out there that keep saying things like, get your house in order. They're not talking about put your clothes up. They're talking about learn real life skills that if you were a primal being that you would need to survive and thrive. And a lot of people hadn't been getting their house in order. So
when you say house in order, you simply mean, hey, learn how to garden. Just learn how to grow some lettuce. Invest in a lettuce grow. Yeah. That could be one. A lettuce grow, I know when you guys Google it, the price tag will make you go, oh, but But, what are you spending on Starbucks every month?
Exactly.
What are you spending on getting that takeout? That I had a rough day. I need Chinese takeout. Shut up.
Or, like you said, insurance, right? Like, mm-hmm. what are you spending monthly on insurance? What car payment are you paying that you actually don't need? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many ways to enjoy mm-hmm. life, be healthy, and make it affordable, but you have to give up the luxuries that you actually don't need.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. We're going to wrap this up. There's only one more thing I wanted to talk about, but it takes a lot of self-discipline in this culture because we travel so much mm-hmm. and we don't really get to socialize or go out with friends or have friends over. But when we do, it's always like, we don't eat this stuff.
I know.
Oh, their house has so many Glade plugins. And we're not judgmental to where we're like, fuck them. But it is. When we go to Airbnbs, we open the windows because normally they have a bunch of fragrance and shit like that. And yep. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
It's everybody is changing, I think, slowly but surely. There's a huge movement of it. I mean, there has to be. Otherwise, mm-hmm. our parents are going to outlive us and our kids.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, our kids will not outlive us or our parents.
No.
It's insane. But you got to have some self-discipline. And again, take these things slow. Don't go out and buy all organic and cut out all the fragrance. And you're going to shock your system. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go right back to what's known and comfortable because, oh, my God, my kids are going crazy. I don't have time for this shit.
Yeah.
So go really slow. Yep. Just change out your laundry detergent. Go get a fragrance-free.
Yeah.
And then when you're comfortable with that, go do something else.
Yeah.
This is years.
It takes discipline. The little things, like instead of buying Rice Krispies at the store that are made by Keebler or whatever, mm-hmm. even if it's the unhealthy stuff, go buy the Rice Krispies and buy the marshmallow shit. Make them at home with your kids. Have fun with it. Because again, the next thing that comes from that is like, you know what? I'm going to buy the organic marshmallow next time. And then I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to skip this wheat and soy and I'm going to do something different. And it's just this compound effort of things that you do. You'll get to a spot where you're like, holy shit, how did I get here? How am I making all these great decisions? It all started from me drinking water every morning.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Now, the last bullet point on this list is attitude and energy.
Ooh.
Who do you live with? Who do you spend the most time with?
Yep.
If our relationship is not balanced or we're not doing well, we really don't eat, neither one of us,
mm-hmm.
because it's just our nervous systems. But also, we've talked about this as health coaches. It honestly, guys, everything we just told you is very valid and true. But there are instances that we've seen and studied where you can eat whatever the fuck mm-hmm. you want. If your primary food plate is full,
yes,
every piece of it is thriving, go ahead and eat the waffles.
Yeah.
Go ahead and have ice cream for dinner. Go eat McDonald's. Your stomach will probably digest it a lot because your energy is good.
Yeah.
Just like with alcohol, are you drinking to escape something? Are you drinking because you're nervous? Or are you drinking because, oh my God, we just got married. Cheers. Woo!
Yeah.
And you're happy.
Yeah.
That affects your physical body. Do you agree?
Yeah. The one I use all the time is The Rock, right? He is a perfect example. From outside the fishbowl, very in shape, takes care of his body, has a great relationship with his daughter, seems like people love him, seems like he enjoys life. And every Sunday, he eats very healthy throughout the week, but every Sunday, he has a 12-inch high stack of, what is it? The bread. Damn it. What do you call it?
French toast.
He has a 12-inch high stack of French toast soaked in maple syrup, butter, and he'll eat that with like a glass of his whiskey that he makes.
Whiskey in the morning?
Yeah.
Jesus. And that's what
he only does it, like I said, once a week, if that. He does it on like Sunday, and he was making videos of it. But when you look at him, he has his finances together. He has that whole primary chart from outside the fishbowl pretty checked off. He knows that he's going to work out right after and burn off all that glucose. And he's enjoying that meal with his little daughter who is having her tea party with him.
Yeah.
And so it's like, whoa, you can do that as long as you don't do it every day. And it won't affect you, really. And it's like, it won't. As long as, like you said, the energy and the attitude and the manner in which you are enjoying it is right.
Exactly. So. And when I was a fertility health coach, I would get stumped on, how is this beautiful, fit, tall, vegan girl not getting pregnant?
Yeah.
But the client who's got acne and just like eating fast food and what is going on here? So I would sit with like each one and talk to them and figure out how are you on your fifth child and you can't get pregnant for over 2 years?
Yeah.
Energy.
Yeah.
Sometimes the healthy woman would live with her parents who were just sucking her dry.
Yeah.
A lot of times I would get down to it and say, do you really want to have a child with this person?
Yeah.
Is he who you want to be the father? Well, I love him. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Or are you keeping up with everyone else your age?
Yeah. And the stress.
I got to have kids by 28 or else I'm a geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah.
Are we doing that here?
Yeah.
Are we truly in? I would break them down big Scorpio style and get to the core of, yeah, I don't think I'm ready to have kids, but my biological clock, all my family, all my friends are on their first or second. And I want to announce with the ultrasound picture that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but why? Why do you want to be a mom? And they couldn't answer it.
Yeah.
They couldn't get, it would take them a long time to think why. And I could see in their mind that they were like, well, I want to do this. Matching outfits would be cute because I want to decorate the nursery.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do you want him to be the father of your child? And that's when they were like, because he's nice.
Yeah.
And then the woman who was conceiving, she was actually in a healthy relationship where they had fun and they laughed and they played. And not only that, but she didn't care.
I was going to say.
She didn't worry about her hormones. She didn't give a shit about nothing, which really reflected on her body.
I was going to say.
She didn't give a shit a little too much.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And so it all, I'm not saying go eat pizza every single day.
No.
But if you really crave it and you want to enjoy it, make sure that you are going to get it when you're having a good day.
Yeah.
When you're celebrating a success, when you and your partner or your kids or your friends are really happy and you're laughing and you're enjoying something with it.
Yeah.
If you're down in the dumps, you're super fucking stressed. Because I've had so many clients too, probably Capricorns and Virgos, who were like, my diet's perfect. I don't drink caffeine. I don't drink alcohol. Why won't my eczema go away?
Yeah.
And then I pull out Heal Your Body by Louise Hay.
Stress.
I'm like, do you got anger towards your mom or dad? Yeah, my mom's a bitch. Do you still live with her? Yeah, and I can't stand it. Hmm.
Yeah.
She does the diet with me, but gosh, she's annoying.
I think what you'll find, I mean, I can't speak from a woman's perspective, but as a man who really knows women's hormones and has watched your journey, I think the ones who worry about anything and everything, big Virgo, Capricorn style, Gemini energy, right? Struggle with a lot of things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think what you'll find is that when you're like, yay, we're going to celebrate today with like ice cream sundaes and blah, blah, blah. This was a good day. I think what you'll actually find is after a little while, you won't even be eating the bad foods. Even when you're celebrating something, it'll actually be like, yo, we're making spring rolls tonight. We're celebrating. It's... life has a funny way of like when your primary food and secondary foods are full and they're aligned, even when opportunities present themselves to get ready to get pregnant, celebrate something, you always end up going the healthier route without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. Like with most women, it's stress and worry. And then like you said, why?
Men too. I think when men get like their masculinity robbed from them, because a lot of women today are very much in their masculine. And if a man comes from a weak, vulnerable spot, he'll just let her take over. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the pants. Take them, sis.
Yeah.
And then I think as a result, he just feels worthless.
Yeah.
And that'll reflect in his diet and his body. Mm-hmm. I mean, why do you think we do this? Yeah, I guess we are judgmental assholes. But when we go out, we look at men's bodies here and we're like, 75% of the women in this crowd could outrun, outlift these men.
Yeah.
What happened to our poor men?
From my experience being where I was at, Bubba J, I had a very inflated ego. Like I was a bad motherfucker. That was my ego, right?
Bubba J.
But in order to hide that really just scared, vulnerable baby J.
Insecure.
I would eat it. and then inflate my ego because I'm a big bad motherfucker. But really and truly, I was just a scared Bubba J who wasn't willing to admit what I was scared of.
What were you scared of?
Failure.
In what?
Every avenue. I was, because if I failed something,
then what happens?
Then I'd be called out. I would be known as a failure. I would be, it's a very vulnerable state as a man to fail, because as a man, you're not supposed to fail. You're supposed to protect, provide. And if you fail at those things, people die. So it's the most weird, vulnerable place to be as a man, to just be like, okay, like I need to stop acting like I'm not gonna fail and accept the fact that I will. And when I do that and I start living a better life, you realize like you actually never even failed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you did. Like your whole life came crumbling down.
Yeah, but it wasn't a failure.
Isn't that funny that right around the time that your life, that wasn't a failure, but like you got yourself in a situation, I did too, I get it, of being married to someone, having kids with her, and all of that failed royally. It came crumbling down. That false ivory tower was exploded.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny that when that happened, your weight also came shedding off.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you became so thin that you're, because this is right around when I got to meet your family and stuff, they were all like, he's sick. He needs to go get his blood tested. He probably has cancer.
Yeah, people thought I was sick because they were so used to me being swollen and fat and big and lazy with that big attitude that they thought this different version of me was unhealthy.
If you can't lose the weight, then you're just fat.
Yeah.
But if you lose too much, then you're on crack.
Yep.
Casey Musgraves.
Yep.
We need to get her on the show. I keep promoting her.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true. And I teach a lot of people, even through birth chart readings, because there's a lot in your chart that would point to your health, what you're susceptible to and stuff. And a lot of people who struggle with weight loss have a big sixth house or first house energy. But everybody that packs on extra weight, it's a protection.
Yeah.
It's padding. I don't want you to see me at my core.
Yeah.
I don't want to be vulnerable in front of you. And these are, I use the bow and arrow example. You can probably attest to this from what I know. You were constantly being attacked, being stabbed in the back by people. Yep. And you became so hurt with that Cancer rising and the Scorpio moon, the betrayals, that you were like, never, never again. I can't take any more backstabbings. And so you eat and you eat and you gain layers of fat to protect you when people try and stab you. You can't feel it. That's what fat is.
Yeah.
And so then when you become strong and powerful and say, okay, hey, everybody in my life fucking hates me. Y'all got knives in me. Now what?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wait, I'm still alive.
Yeah. Well, you realize they weren't even knives. They were just like toothpicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that those weren't even real friends. And now, wait, I'm skinny and healthy. And now I got real friends.
Yeah.
Let me just pull these toothpicks out, these porcupine quills, and go along. And now your blood work is absolutely perfect at the grand age of 34.
Yep. Almost 35.
That's what I'm telling you.
Yep.
That's what I'm telling you.
I like getting older.
I do too. I can't wait to die.
I wouldn't go that far, but I just like getting older. What are you doing?
I'm going to say that on my panel interview on August 1st with Deb.
And she's like, are you struggling with this?
Let's talk
like,
about the gremlin in your head. Oh, I can't fucking wait to die.
Yeah, you will say it. And then I'm going to comment on the little deal.
Yes. Guys, go sign up for the immersion. I've been promoting it a bunch. It's going to be really fun. But now I didn't realize so many of you would actually sign up. Now I'm nervous because y'all are watching me and I can only imagine the inappropriate things.
I can't wait to leave the inappropriate conversations.
My Sag secretly loves it. But then my Taurus rising is like, wait, we got to keep this proper. Let's be grounded and earthy, people.
No, we're going to have fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. So go to our website, lightworkers-lounge, and click on free astrology course to sign up. Again, it is free. We just want to hang out and talk astrology with you. And it's to promote astrology school opening this fall as well. So, hey, let's go to the bar and get that apricot spritzer.
Or I can just sit here and drink my Aqua Keeper probiotic tell water.
Like, if y'all think we are just blowing smoke, what are we both drinking right now? Go ahead.
You're drinking a
butterfly pea lemonade
that we made with Kangen water.
With Kangen water.
And I'm drinking a GTS pomegranate
Aqua Keeper.
Raw Aqua Keeper probiotic water.
Because you know it's all about that good. About that good. Probiotics is all about that good. But that good. Prebiotics.
That's a good one.
That good.
6 billion probiotics.
He ain't playing with the poo-poos.
And full spectrum electrolytes.
If you guys aren't pooping solid logs that don't float or stick to the toilet, you know your poop can tell you guys so much. Do we look at our poop and pee? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I look at my vagina discharge. I look at my poop. I look at my pee.
I've looked at your vagina.
If you have to. This is how, these are the report cards from your body telling you. It drives me nuts when people are like, why would I look at my poop? Ugh!
I mean,
do you not want to know a report card sliding out telling you what grade you've been getting?
I really get most of the info back when I lick your vagina. But anyways, okay.
Hey!
What?
That's a whole other episode.
Titled Scorpio Moons.
People love it. Okay, let's go to the bar and get a mimosa.
No, thank you.
When we were talking, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take you to Vegas, UNLV, and you're going to watch me chug Jager bombs.
I'll watch you, and I'll drink water on the rocks.
All right. I said this would be an hour. Guess how long it is?
2.5.
Get you some of that. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Thank you, Baby J, for giving us so much of your time. You may now go on your ride.
You are welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.